Pacific Islanders in Hawaii continue to see disproportionate impacts of COVID-19. They make up nearly 30% of the state's coronavirus cases, but only 4% of its population. For the thousands of Pacific Islanders who don't speak English, access to health care under the pandemic has been largely dependent on access to a language interpreter. HPR's Ku'uwe Hiraishi joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. Pacific Islanders, and I think everyone in Hawaii noticed early on in the pandemic that there was little information on COVID-19 that could be found in Pacific Islander languages. And state and county health agencies were able to scramble to find translators for some of the material that we'd see on social media or posted on the Department of Health's website. But finding medical interpreters, right, folks fluent in the language, steeped in the culture, but also familiar with the medical terminology, was a whole other challenge. The State Office of Language Access says Chukchi's in particular has been the most recent or most requested language for translation and interpretation services under the pandemic with the agency. They've got a roster of qualified Chukchi's interpreters that may not necessarily have gone through any formal medical training, but there is an even smaller pool of those medical interpreters.
Well, I know that you hear of interpreters, let's say, in court, right, when people get arrested and have traffic violations, but the hospitals are a whole other issue.
They are, and I think from the folks that I've spoken to for a really long time, it's sort of been, oh, hey, you, a nurse or someone who's working at the front desk, are you, you know, do you speak this language? Can you help me interpret for this patient who just walked in and, you know, we realized does not speak English? So this issue really was highlighted under the pandemic. Speaking to Filio Suruman, he is a Chukchi's language, a language interpreter, who's been very busy under the pandemic. But he, like many in the Chukchi's community, he began interpreting when he was 11 years old, right, for his Chukchi-speaking parents when the family moved to Hawaii. So he got to see firsthand how crucial, even in elementary school, how crucial a role language interpretation or language interpreters specifically play in helping his community navigate English-speaking Hawaii. So for him, when it came to COVID-19, he really noticed that ensuring Chukchi's families that he worked with, that they understood words like isolation and quarantine and exactly what that entails, and to make sure that they would stick with it, that could be the difference, you know, in COVID-19 spreading in the community or in that household, or stopping it. So here's Uruman.
The number one problem that I see in many places, when people come in, hi, what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Oh, how are you? I'm good. Oh, he speaks English. English is his first language. He does not need interpreter. No, those people need an interpreter. It's not okay. It's not safe to assume that someone speaks English.
Very powerful words when I had spoken to him. But language access, as we know, is a right here in Hawaii under state and also under federal law. So non-English-speaking residents have that right to demand a language interpreter. It's not often done, especially in sort of chaotic hospital environments. But like we mentioned earlier, prior to the pandemic, a lot of it was in the hospital setting, at least, was somewhat informal, an informal arrangement, right? You look like you may speak it. Can you come and help me get this patient through the process? And this really irks linguist Suzanne Zhang, a retired professor up at UH Manoa's Center for Interpretation and Translation Studies. So she's now the president of Language Services Hawaii. So she connects service providers of interpretation and translation here in Hawaii with state agencies, hospitals, anyone who really needs the service. And for her, the training component is crucial to really staving off COVID-19. Here's Zhang.
So what happens is the non-trained interpreters fake it. Whereas a trained interpreter would say, excuse me, doctor, the interpreter would like to check a dictionary, you know, and I can just check my dictionary. Or if they say, you know, you need some surgery I've never heard of, I would say, excuse me, doctor, the interpreter is unfamiliar with that term. Could you explain it, please? Because I want to be accurate. So trained interpreters know what to do when they don't understand. And non-trained interpreters tend to fake it, including sons or daughters or, you know, family members.
Interesting.
Zeng, you know, she really sees the pandemic as an opportunity to ramp up training of Pacific Islander language speakers and medical interpretation. She and retired public health nurse Barbara Tom, 10 years ago or so, spearheaded a training program particularly to do that, to train, I think they trained 15 medical interpreters in Chukis and Marshallese. They started a glossary of medical terminology because, as we know, there, you know, for many terms, including COVID-19, there is no Chukis or Marshallese word. So coming up with descriptions for that to be used in medical interpretation was part of that program. And they lost funding, but she's hopeful that perhaps because of the pandemic and national attention to Pacific Islanders being hit disproportionately by COVID across the country, that the exam they had that their design might be of use. Here's Zhang.
The national organization is very interested in that exam, and they're already recorded, already ready to go, and they're very similar to the National Certification of Medical Interpreters Association exams. Hopefully the next step is to get the evaluation together and then just let them have it.
Well, hopefully good news for our non-English speaking Pacific Islander community here, but for all languages really, and highlighting the need for language access, specifically in the medical world.
Yeah, so you mentioned that they lost funding for that training program. So, you know, they talk about how there's federal monies that we've got to spend. So additional monies will be put in this area then?
It depends on the state agency. There's been some influx, I think, at the city and county of Honolulu for use of CARES Act funds for that. But it is, you know, it's like $400 for the exam to get certified, another $100 for the written exam. Then you've got to recertify every 5 years for another $300 for Zhang. She says, you know, it's kind of discouraging for some in the Pacific Islander community. So perhaps even an additional influx of funds to really invest in a cadre of Pacific Islander interpreters would need a lot of money.
All right. Well, it's a good thing that you're highlighting this, a very important issue to our community here. Thanks so much, Kuvehi.
Thanks.
That was Kuvehi Reishi. She was talking with us today about the need for Pacific Island language interpreters during this pandemic. You can read her stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org.